Well, hello and welcome, everybody. This is your host, Kendi Foster, and today is a day that can really, I believe, change your life, change your way of thinking, be able to upshift the way you think in many ways, and open up communications with your, not only inner dialogue with yourself, but also with your family and your community. And this is really what we need at this point in time. As you know, we're all going through the challenges of the political challenges on the left and the right, the assassination of Charlie Kirk, none of the issues have changed in our country. We still have environmental issues. We still have issues with poverty. We have issues with homelessness. We have major issues around health. And why is that, right? Why is that? How about if we turn off the media a little bit and start tuning into, mainstream media, and tune into some of the people that have wisdom, understanding, and can help you to shift your thinking in ways that's going to really support you. You know, we aren't meant here to come to this world to suffer, to attack one another, to go through problems every single moment of the day. We are here to thrive, to grow, to evolve, to become the best versions of ourselves we possibly can, to be leaders as men for our families, to be dynamic women that step into their power and can really have a voice in this world. So that's what I'm about. That's what this show is about. And how do we do that? Well, one of the things we're going to talk about today is choosing connection over division. You know, that was what Charlie Kirk was all about. He was about conversation. And, you know, you may like it, not like his politics, but you know, we need to have dialogue in this country. So whatever your side you're on, it really doesn't matter. We need dialogue, and you know that's true. Because if we don't open the dialogue, if we don't talk to one another, and we keep seeing each other as separate, and we keep seeing everything that's wrong about the person you disagree with, which I think is appalling, okay? Instead, we need to start looking at where we come together, where we connect together. You know, everybody's a soul here, right? We're all individual souls. We all come out of God. And listen, we're all connected at the soul level, right? So, you know, when you see differences, you know, it's like, well, who's really seeing the differences? Is that programming that's been programmed into your mind since you were a child? Are you watching too much media on the one side or another? You know, do you need some more balance in your life? Well, that's what we're talking about today. Balance, right? It's time for you to step into being more of you. And listen, I'm not here to preach to you. I'm here to encourage you. I've been a life coach, business strategist for over 30 years. I've written several books. I've hosted hundreds and hundreds of live events. I've put on hundreds of summits. Our last two summits, we've had over 450,000 people watch them. And I work with the top thought leaders, people that have wisdom, people that have hacks that can help you to upshift your life. And that's what we're about today. I've got a really special guest today. We are going to be talking about human hacking today, and how you can really start to reconnect with people that maybe you've had family members that you haven't been able to connect with because they're judging you, you're judging them, right? How do we resolve that, right? How do we start to practice things like deep listening? Listening to what's really going on with the other, you know? How do we practice daily kindness in our life so that we feel a sense of gentleness, you know? And, you know, I think if you're suffering, you know, and I know I've been suffering over the last few weeks since Charlie's passing, I'm turning that pain into purpose. And that's what I encourage you to do. Change your pain. You got to feel the pain to make the change, but change the pain into purpose. If you can do that, your life's going to get better. All right, I'm going to take a quick break. And when I get back, I'm going to have my very special guest. All righty, here we go.
Do you suffer in pain? Are you stiff, tense, or less active than before? Introducing the EasyWell Remedy Massage System that combines the incredible effects of vibrational therapy, targeted deep tissue shiatsu massage, plus soothing infrared heat. A triple fusion of therapeutic experiences. Full body vibrational therapy increases blood circulation and reduces inflammation. Look at these beads moving from the powerful vibrational motors.
It's like 1,000 little fingers just vibrating my body from head to toe.
Infrared heat penetrates deep to reduce pain, soothe, and relax.
Remedy gets in there and helps deal with the source of the pain, so you feel much better.
The Ultra Shiatsu Pillow with 6 infrared heated nodes mimics a professional massage. Plus, it's detachable for deep relief anywhere you need it.
It's just something that you're gonna have to feel for yourself.
Experience the true remedy for your pain and stiffness. Call now.
Well, welcome back, everybody. My guest today is Chris Hadnagy. Chris, say your last name.
Hadnagy.
Hadnagy. Okay. I should have had it before the break. Anyway, hey, good to have you here. And for those of you that don't know Chris, he's a trailblazer in the realm of social engineering and a master hacker. We're going to visit that in depth. His vast experience in this field, from training in law enforcement professionals to speaking at renowned events like RSA and Black Hat, highlights his authority. He is the best-selling author of several technical books on security, including Social Engineering and The Art of Human Hacking. Okay, wow, I love this topic. Let's explain what the concept of human hacking is.
So in essence, it's learning how humans make decisions and then using influence and social skills to basically influence the way that they make that decision in a way that you want them to go.
Okay. All right. So if I have somebody that, let's say a family member, and I'd like to influence them to maybe have better habits, right? Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah. So let's even use that example. Let's say you have a family member, you noticed the last year they've really gotten lethargic and you're worried about their health. So you can walk up to them and you can say, "Hey, Ken, you know what? You're kind of getting overweight. That's not really great." That's not a great way to communicate, right? But what if you said, "Hey, during lunch break, I'm going to go for a walk. I'd love if you join me." Now, you're getting the result you want, which is to see that family member be a little healthier, be less lethargic. But instead of just jumping in and saying, you know, "You're unhealthy," you're actually taking an action to influence that person's activity.
And what happens when the family member has gotten in such poor patterns that they go, "No, I don't want to go walk today. No, I don't want to walk tomorrow," and you keep inviting them? What do you do then?
That's a great question. So now you have to use other skills. You have to say things like, "You know, how you been feeling lately?" So, you know, most likely they're going to say, "Just tired all the time." And why do you think that is? You know, to me, when you get into conversations like this, I know what the urge is for us to tell. I want to tell you what the problem is. But when you ask questions, you get that person to realize what it is that they need to realize in their own path. And that's a much better way of communicating than just walking up and saying, "Well, I can tell you why you're tired all the time." You know, and that's our urge, is to want to do that.
Yeah, sure. My urge. Every time I do that, I get myself in trouble with family.
Me too.
Hey, they don't appreciate my wisdom or my experience, or it doesn't matter, right?
It's, yeah,
you know what? I don't want you to tell me what to do, and I appreciate that. So, it's a good way to go. You know, the world is kind of driven by technology, and we're getting more and more into AI. Yet, I'm not sure I want to get off the subject, but that we got going here. But I do want to understand how human communication seems to be more important than ever. I mean, you know, with COVID, everybody could disconnected, and you know, we didn't go to live events. We didn't touch each other. We had wore masks. We were doing all that. Now we're back, right? But are we really back?
I don't think so. See, I think what happened in COVID is we got used to isolation. And we also got used, you brought it up, social media. It's a massive thing. Think about this. We're in an age where I want to learn how to make this 3-course meal, but you better give it to me in 60 seconds. Otherwise, I'm tapped out. I'm done, right? So these videos have to be so quick to teach you massive skills because people don't want to take the time. We've also saw the effect of social media on communication during COVID. Look how angry people are with each other. The hatred, the vitriol that just comes out of these people on the internet to someone they've never met just because they don't agree on something. Now, COVID goes away, you know, for the most part. We go back to live events and people have trained themselves that this is the way they communicate. And that got carried on into the real world where we just see horrible things being said to people, to each other in public. And I think that it is more important now to learn how to communicate better because social media, if we think about its design, social media, they want you to spend more time on it. Right? They're free. So how do they make money? They make money off of advertisements. And they need to continually silo you into the things that you are interested in. So that way you stay on it and you scroll longer. So that means if you are angry at something and you type that into your Instagram or Twitter or TikTok or whatever, that's what your feed's going to show you forever. It's just going to be there. You say something out loud to your partner. Guess what? Oh, listen it. You're gonna, and we've all seen this. I said, man, wouldn't it be fun to go to Fiji? Yes, man, I'm getting plane tickets to Fiji on my ads. Listen, it knows it wants to silo you. So when we're siloed into our own belief system, never branch out to hear other people's thoughts or beliefs, then that really creates a pretty closed environment, a very closed mind to people.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. And you know, I'm thinking that you know, we're kind of like anything goes now, okay? Anything goes. You can spread out your anger on the social media. You can spread peace if you want. But, you know, the ones that are spreading the anger and the hate seem to get a lot more views than the people that are spreading peace and joy and love, right? Not sure why that is. But here's what I want to say is that people don't get it, right? They don't get that, or at least the ones that are angry. They don't get that. They're just projecting what's inside of them out there, okay? So if you're an angry person, you're filled with hate, and you project that out there, what you ought to be doing is reviewing what you're saying and asking yourself, why am I this way? How can I be a person? You know, one of the things I loved about Charlie Kirk was the fact that this guy, man, he would take all this flack, and this guy would just stand there and be calm. And I'm like, you know, every single leader that I've ever known in business or in law enforcement or wherever it is, or in, you know, any of our social services or corporations, the ones that I admire are the ones that can take heat under fire and be calm under fire. Yeah. You know, and I just think we need to get back to some kind of sensibility. People need to really look at themselves and stop projecting their anger all over the world. I don't know. That's just me.
To do what you're saying, though, that takes self-awareness. And self-awareness is hard. You know, I'm gonna use myself as an example. 4 years ago, I weighed 350 pounds. Mm-hmm. I was severely overweight. I was completely unhealthy. And I had friends and family tell me, like, you really, you know, like, you should do something. Oh, I'm just big boned. Or I'm too busy. I travel too much for work. You know, I had every excuse under the sun. I wasn't self-aware. And then something happened where it made me realize, it forced me to realize that I was completely unhealthy. I couldn't even plant flowers in my backyard. I was out of breath. I couldn't barely move. And I'm like, I'm not even 50 yet at the time. I'm going to be dead. I'm going to leave my family with no husband and no father. And that self-awareness awakening for me is what caused me to go on a health journey. And I lost 130 pounds so far. Self-awareness is not easy because it means you have to look in the mirror and you have to go, I don't like this about you. This is something bad about you. You have to change that. And people do not want to do that. They don't take the time to look in that mirror and analyze things that they need to change. When people do that, that's when you see people who can really communicate well and they understand their strengths and their flaws and they're able to capitalize on both.
I couldn't agree with you more. And I, you know, it's it's really pretty simple to do, right? I just talking to my audience now. It's like you look at your life, you say, all right, let me rate my health on a scale of 1 to 10, right? 10's outstanding, 1's dismal. Yeah. Let me just rate it. Let me just rate my fitness. Okay. let me rate, you know, my finances, my relationships, my career, you know, my, how much fun I'm having in life, you know, let me just rate that, you know, maybe my legacy, let me rate that. And once you rate it, you know, then it's that the show is all about courage. Okay. So that's what it takes. And from my point of view, you know, courage does not, we all have courage, but it doesn't show up until you walk into the unknown. So it's like, well, I don't know how I'm going to lose 150 pounds,
right?
You know, right?
Yep.
But this, I'm going to find my courage. Here's my purpose, because I don't want to die. I want to be here for my family. And I'm going to take just daily steps and see what's working and what's not, and adjust along the way. You know, it sounds easy, but it's tough. But you know what?
Muff.
Here's what I found, man, you know, especially with health. It's hard to set health goals, to read labels, to eat healthy, to see what's working, what's not, to let go and not have the pizza every night, or not have the dessert every night, or not have, you know, and go out and exercise. It's hard to do. But listen, and I know that Chris will tell you this. It's hard to be 350 pounds. I'll let you speak to that. You know, how hard is it to be 350 pounds, not be able to do what you want to do, you know, not be afraid because you're going to leave the body, right? Yeah. You know, it's tough. So your choice is, it's hard either way. What's the choice you want to make? I think that's the key. What do you say, Chris?
I agree with that 100%, because I think I made that choice, right? And I would tell myself I can't lose the weight, because I would try every fad diet that came out, every pill that promised to shed the fat away. I tried it all. And yeah, sometimes, you know, I took the Atkins thing. I lost like 15 pounds. And as soon as you eat a piece of bread, you gain it all back, you know? And I was convinced that I was stuck. This was my life. But then I found a trainer, and this was a big deal for me, because he said to me, because I was telling him how frustrated I was, and I tried all of these things, and he says, when were you the most in shape from this point? And I said, ooh, the year my daughter was born. My wife and I were workout partners in the gym. We worked out 3-4 days a week. And then my wife got pregnant, and the doc said, you got to stop doing heavy lifting to her, because it's not going to be good for the baby, you know, just light exercises. So I stopped working out also with my wife. I said, I'll just pick it back up when the baby's born. That was 17 years later when I realized. And he said to me, it took you 17 years to go from being healthy to being this unhealthy. Don't think that next month you're going to wake up and be in the shape you want. It's going to take time, and it's going to take effort, and it's going to take work. And that's simple. It's so simple. You think any human would know that. But I didn't, because I was trying all these, you know, pills and programs that in 30 days you're gonna lose this weight. You know, in 90 days you're gonna have abs. No, four years I've been working on this, and I'm still a work in progress with this. So it's a matter of looking at, like you said, what's a decision I want? I could have decided to stay the way I was. Yeah. And it's you know, I'll tell you the most embarrassing situation, when you get on a plane and you need a belt extender. That is terrible. It's so embarrassing. You would think if that ever happened to me once, I would lose the weight right there. Yeah. You don't.
Yeah.
I didn't. I made a choice to not make a change until I had that moment where I was afraid. And I thought, this is it. Chris, you got to do something. You got to stop making excuses. And getting that trainer was the best thing I ever did.
I love it. Well, yeah. I couldn't agree with you more. We need, you know, we need coaches. We need training. We need education. We need to read books. That we're going to talk about Chris's book in a second. I'm going to talk about my book in a second, too. We need this, because if not, we keep on the same old, you know, you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, right? Then what you got to do is you got to hire a trainer, hire a coach, hire, you know, read Chris's book, read my books. You know, and make the change, and it won't be easy. Okay. It's okay. You know, when I first woke up, Chris, I heard this little voice in 1992. It said, you got to feel the pain to make the change. At the time, I was chasing pleasure. That's all I wanted was pleasure in my life. I didn't want to feel any pain. I just wanted to have fun, party, do whatever I want, spend all the money I want, you know, make lots of money, buy the big cars, buy the big house, do all that, just pleasure. But when I heard that voice, I realized, okay, that's a voice of courage. That's a voice of truth. that we have to feel the pain to make the change. That's driven my life for years. I became a triathlon and everything else using that method of feeling the pain to make the change. So, all right, listen, we got to take a quick break. When we come back, we are going to talk about Chris's book, and we're going to talk about how to take your life to the next level with hacks, human hacking.
If you've been injured in an accident that's not your fault and you don't have an attorney, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to tell you what your case is potentially worth. Hello, I'm Gina, along with spokesperson Rob. Rob, tell the folks at home who should be calling right now.
Well, just like you said, Gina, anyone who's been injured in an accident that was not your fault, you don't have an attorney, give us a call right now, and we're going to let you know what your case is potentially worth.
Thanks, Rob. So what kind of calls have we been seeing today?
Well, Gina, we're getting calls from all types of accidents today. Work accidents, slip and falls, truck accidents, and most commonly, car accidents. So if you were injured in an accident that was not your fault, you don't have an attorney, take that first step, pick up that phone, and give us a call. We're going to answer your questions, and we'll let you know how much money you can get for your accident.
Thanks, Rob. All right, folks at home, you heard it. Go ahead. Don't hesitate. Take that first step and call now.
Call 800-455-2790.
Well, welcome back, everybody. This is your host, Kendi Foster. I'll get right back with my wonderful guest, Chris, in just a second here. I did, you know, since we're on the subject of change today, I don't usually advertise this or let you know about my book. I don't know why. I probably should every show, but I want to let you know this today. There's a new book out that I wrote. It's called The Courage to Change Everything, because that's kind of what we're talking about today. And it's daily strategies and essential wisdom to awaken your inner genius. This book is a very easy read. It's a one day at a time read so that you get wisdom, understanding, and direction every single day to support whatever your goals are. So you can pick it up at courage2change.us. Also, I want to mention to you that we have a YouTube channel out there. And if you go to youtube.com/@thecouragenetwork, that's a little at sign, youtube.com/@thecouragenetwork, you can go ahead and subscribe. And why subscribe? Well, you won't miss our shows, but you know, more importantly in my world is that you'll pass them on to family and friends and people that can really be supported by you. All right, back to my wonderful guest. All right, Chris. By the way, you're a little off center there, Chris.
Oh, let me move then. This way or this way?
No way. There you go.
Okay, there we go.
Perfect. All right. All right. Let's talk about human hacking. You got an amazing book out there, and we'll put it up on screen. Now you got to move a little bit over.
You got the
no way, Chris. All right.
Japanese version, huh?
There you go. Okay, we'll put it on the screen there. Human hacking. And this is all about really helping people to have a better life. Why did you write Human Hacking?
Well, so the last 20 years, I've been doing this job. And my job, daily job, is literally I get paid to break into places, all legally. Like a bank will hire me to go break into the bank daytime and nighttime to show them where their vulnerabilities are. So that way they can patch them before someone really tries to do it bad. So I realized that over the years, all these skills that I was using to talk my way into highly secure areas actually could be used every day to make people better communicators. I was teaching classes using these skills. And all of a sudden, it went from people in my industry coming to my class to where I started seeing salespeople come. Then I got the chance to train U.S. military like SOCOM and the Army and the Navy. I got to speak at the Pentagon. Then I got asked to go train MI5 and MI6. And I'm like, wait, like they're not doing what I do. Like, why do they want these skills? And it would be something so simple, like, hey, we need to basically go into this village and talk to these people without guns and get them to kind of come over to our side. So we want to learn that, you know, that kind of skill. Salespeople were like, this is going to make me a better salesperson, not sound like a used car salesman. And then the big thing happened. I had a guy come to my class and he said to me, I'm here because I want to be a better father and husband. I was like, what? Like, what do you mean? Like, he said, oh, one of my IT guys took this class. I was reading through his book and I needed to come and take this. And that's when it hit me. that these skills, when people were talking about that class to other folks, that these skills were being used because they weren't just in IT, they weren't just in social engineering. They wanted to use these as life skills. So that was my motivation to write this book, was that take all the experiences I have from breaking into buildings and communicating that way to get what I need, and let's use that to better our lives, to better our communication skills with friends and family and coworkers. And that was the motivation to kind of put all these pages in writing and to have it out there for people to learn.
Well, I love it. You know, we're talking about, you know, breaking old patterns, breaking social limitations and limitations on yourself, you know, even communicating with family or friends or what have you. You know, that's how do we do that? I mean, how is that? You know, what's in the book that gives me like, here's ABC. Here's one of the ways you can hack having a better relationship, let's say.
So the first step in any of these skills is, and we talked about it already a little bit, self-awareness, right? So I'll use myself as an example. I'm a very direct communicator. And in my younger years, I would be very blunt with people, you know, something like, man, that shirt doesn't look good on you. And I would think, well, I'm just being me. You know, people have to accept it. If they like me, that's just the way I talk, you know. And then as I got self-aware, I realized, ooh, sometimes, Chris, you sound like a jerk. You know, yeah, it may be true, but it might not be necessarily to be said. So I started to analyze that and realize that communication profile of yourself is an essential first piece of all the problems. You need to know what your strengths and your weaknesses are about your communication profile. Otherwise, you're never going to adapt, change the way that you communicate to become better. So once you learn that, I learned I'm very direct. My strength is I don't mind taking criticism. I don't mind talking directly. I don't mind hearing feedback. But I also have to realize not everybody's the same way. So I might need to calm down my bluntness. Now you use the elicitation skills. The elicitation is getting information from someone without directly asking for it. So sure, I can maybe say, hey, Ken, what's your date of birth? Right, what's your birthday? That's one way of doing it. Or I can say something like, hey, and you know, I'm trying to think of something to do for my uncle. You know, it's his birthday coming up. And you guys are about the same. What did you do last year for your birthday? What did you do? And maybe you say, oh, I took a trip. I went to Italy. That was one of my dreams to do. And I'm like, oh, man, well, you must be a summer baby because no one wants to go to Italy in the winter. Oh, yeah, my grandma was born the 11th. Really? Oh, no, I'm the 19th. Okay, great. And that was a conversation. I got the information I wanted without a direct ask. And when you learn to use those type of elicitation skills, it can open up massive doors for communication.
I love that. You know, what I want to talk about, you know, something else that's in the book. You talk about, you know, deep empathy, generosity, kindness. Those are things that right now in this world, you know, I don't know what happened to the kindness with some people and the generosity and the love. You know, it just seems like it vanished with self-righteousness. And you know, this is, if you don't believe what I believe, you know, you're out to lunch. I don't believe that that's a majority of people, but there's a substantial amount of people that it's impacting society in a negative way because of this. In the book, you know, you talk about it. Can you share some examples of how these qualities can be harnessed for effective communication?
Yeah, sure. So I love the topic of empathy, because empathy is something that we have to learn and we have to practice. You have to practice it, right? And ego suspension goes a long way with empathy. And I'll give you an example from my job. This was kind of when school shootings were new, and I hate to even use that, but the country was just divided. You know, we had people saying, get rid of all the guns. We had people saying, arm the teachers. And it was just dividing people. And I don't care what you believe on that topic. I'm not here to say you're right or wrong, but I'm about to go break into this office building and I have a pretext of, I'm there for a job interview, and I walk into the front lobby and there's about 16 people there in a heated argument in this lobby of this building. And it's just like me and the gatekeeper, and I can, you know, smooth and then get in. Now, it's like an old Western. The doors open. I walk into this argument and everyone turns to look at me. Right? And I'm like, oh, no, this is not the way I wanted this to go. And they turned to me and their news was on and there was this school shooting horrific thing. And they're arguing about arming the teachers or getting rid of all guns. And they turn to me and they're like, well, what do you think? And now I'm being pulled into this argument. And I'm sitting there still thinking about my job, saying, if I take a side, I'm alienating half of this company. I'm alienating half of the room. And I'm thinking, like, 100 miles an hour, what do I say? And I have two kids, right? So, you know, I said to them, I said, well, really, my opinion doesn't matter, because here's what I care about. I care about sending my kids to school and not having to think that this is the last day I kissed them goodbye. I said, that's what I really care about. And everybody kind of calmed down, because they realized that is the common ground. Regardless of what you believe on that topic, you're passionate about it because you don't want to see kids getting shot. The only people that want that are the crazy people that are doing it. So when you use empathy, you say, what is the common ground between you and me? Even if we have completely different systems, and it's okay that we're different. I don't need to hate you because of that. And I talk a lot about that in the book, about when you have a conversation with someone, active listen. I shouldn't be thinking about, well, how can I tell Ken he's wrong? Well, if I active listen, I'm listening to you to really get your opinion, to understand what it is that makes you up, that creates your personality. And when I understand that, that makes it easier to communicate with you.
It's a really good point. I'm thinking of the media right now, and I'm thinking about mainstream media, and I'm thinking about how kind of doesn't matter what side you're on. You know, you listen to CNN, Fox, or ABC, or Newsmax. It kind of doesn't matter. They'll take empathy and kind of twist it. They'll say, "Well, you know, we believe in democracy. We believe that we want all of our children safe." And then in the next breath, they'll say, "But the other side doesn't believe that. They think this, you know," so they kind of twist it, and they twist people's mind when they do that. How can we pay attention to that in a way that we can listen from a different place than maybe what people are just being bombarded with?
Yeah, I tell my kids this same thing. I say, do not listen to one source. So you brought up AI, and right now, the thing that's happening in mainstream media and on social media is everything is twisted to whatever that network or platform believes. If they're right or left, if they're whatever it is, the message is always going to be twisted towards that. So don't listen to just one source. Don't trust things just because you hear them on news or on social media. Verify everything. Be an open book. Be open to learning things from a different angle. So you go to one program and it says, hey, you know, this school shooting happened because, you know, this party said that. Okay, well, let me go look over here at this news and see what's being said. And now if they're both saying things that are opposite of each other, both things can't be true, right? They can't. So you can't have two truths in that are opposing each other in one story. So that means you have to start critically thinking. What is it? Did that school shooting happen because of a political thing? Probably not. It happened because somebody was bullied and then went online and was angry and was filled with hate and had access to guns and came and created havoc. It had nothing to do with politics. It had nothing to do with right or left or the president or not the president. Nothing. Had to do with a person who had evil in their heart and took that evil out on a bunch of kids and created havoc. Yeah. And you can tell it because a terrorist, if you think about it, any type of terrorist, they don't care about dying when they perform their act. And most of these school shooters commit suicide when they're cornered. Yeah. It's basically domestic terrorism because they're doing this and they don't care about the outcome for them. They're not just making a statement. The horrible person who shot Charlie, he was trying to make a statement, right? He was trying to make a political statement with his assassination because he tried to run. But these people, they're not political. So just, it takes a lot of critical thinking to sit down and go, what is the message that I'm being shown or spoken to? And where can I go find the truth?
Yeah.
And we have to do it today, especially with AI and deepfake technology.
Boy, do we ever, you know, I'm bringing up Charlie, you know, I mean, my dad was LAPD for 44 years. We talked about that ahead of time. He was at the assassination of Bobby Kennedy. He happened to be there. And, You know, prior to Bobby, we had John F. Kennedy Jr., John F. Kennedy, our president. We had, you know, Martin Luther King. You know, when there's one thing they all have in common, and I'm afraid that we're going to have the same thing going on with the Kirk thing, is that they all included a lot more people than what we were initially told. So I want to, when you're talking about looking critically, I believe we need to look critically in on both sides of the media, on mainstream media. I also believe you need to look critically in social media, because I think the social media has a lot of influence now. And you know, if you seek the truth, you know, Jesus said, "No stone will be left unturned." I love that, because I know the truth is always comes out if you seek it. But if you're stuck with this is the way it is, or you're buying somebody's agenda out there, then you're going to miss it. You're just going to be part of the sheeple that go with the story that is made up, right? So we have to be really critical. And, you know, just with the Kirk thing right now, there's a lot of videos that have come out, show shooters in different places. So you need to be aware of it. Most people aren't even aware of that.
Okay.
So it's out there, but it's out there.
It's a little scary, because when you think about like, people get so angry, and then they get hatred, and then you see these people celebrating. Now, I don't care if you agreed with Charlie or not. I really don't care. Yeah. We should never be celebrating the murder of a person like that. Where has the empathy gone for his wife and children to think that now she's going to see videos online of people celebrating and laughing about his death, making memes about his death? This bar somewhere made a drink called the Kill Shot.
Yeah.
Making fun of him. Like, I sit back and I go, where are we in the stream of human history?
Yeah.
That, like, we went back, what, to gladiatory days? Like, where you're cheering on the death of people? It's obscene, really. And it doesn't matter what you believe. We should not be cheering on the death of another human being that was innocent of doing anything but talking his belief system. That's it.
Yeah.
In a country where we're supposed to believe in free speech, he wasn't murdering people. He wasn't hurting children. He wasn't hurting animals. He was speaking, and he got murdered for that. Right. And now people are celebrating that. That, to me, we've lost a sense of how to communicate properly with that.
You know, you can't kill somebody unless you make up a bunch of shit.
Yeah.
Quite frankly, you just got to make it up. You gotta villainize them. You're probably looking for social support. Oh yeah, everybody thinks he's this way, okay? But it starts inside of you. That anger, that hatred for whatever, probably starts from a wound of some kind that, like you said, maybe bullying, maybe something, you know, maybe it's at home. Maybe you're bullied at home or hurt or beat or you know, worse, okay? You know, and for those of you that have gone through that, I mean, that's life-changing. So, you know, it's okay to reach out and get help. I mean, it's okay. That's where we are in society today.
Yeah.
We talk about it. We get help. If you're a person on the side that went, oh, you know, your first reaction was, oh, yeah, yeah. And then you've had some remorse around it. I want you to look deeply inside of yourself and ask yourself, if I could do that again, what would I do? And ask yourself, why did I have that reaction? What led me to have that kind of reaction instead of a reaction of empathy for the nation, for his wife, for his children? I mean, for his everybody in his business, all of us. Okay. Where did your empathy go? Just ask. Okay. You know, and I think if you're a person that, you know, people make mistakes with tragedy, we do weird things. People say weird things on media all the time. But, you know, if that's you, then stop and reflect. Is that really working for you? Is that really who you are? Is that really what you want to put out in the world? I think that's what we need to do here.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the ways that we can start on that is we can go out and we can start with looking at the book Human Hacking. Okay. The principles are all here in the book. How to communicate effectively, how to use empathy, how to use generosity, how to use kindness, how to phrase things in a way that others can hear you and you can hear them. So I just think everybody should go get it. It's Human Hacking. And for my listening audience, you'll want to look up Christopher Hagnotti, Hadnagy, Christopher Hagnagy. Sorry, Christopher.
That's okay. A hard name.
It's hard. It's a good name. It's a great name. So anyway, but you can go on Amazon and get the book, and you know, and it's a great step. It's a place to go. So, all right, listen, I'm going to take a quick break. And when we get back, let's talk about interactive missions and how interactive missions, you know, what you talk about in the book and how that can benefit the audience here. So we'll be right back.
Have you ever felt leg pain, restlessness, cramps, tingling, swelling, numbness, itchiness, or coldness? Then you need the new, clinically proven Legsercise Pro, the natural circulation booster that uses continuous automatic leg movement to soothe pain and promote healthy circulation the natural drug-free way.
After using Legsercise for a week, I felt like I wanted to go for a walk again without pain like I used to.
Legsercise Pro's patented walking simulator propulsion technology moves your feet back and forth along its concave track, creating constant movement and flex at both the knee and ankle joints. It's like having a physical therapist right in your own home.
It's helped with the swelling and the pain. The tingling feeling is gone.
Call right now and order your very own Legsercise Pro, the clinically proven automatic leg mover that soothes pain and naturally promotes healthy circulation. Call now.
Well, welcome back, everybody. I'm speaking with Chris Hadnagy. And he's got a new book out called, where'd we go, Chris? So I messed up. Anyway, called up, it's, I'll just put it on the screen. It's called Human Hacking. Okay, we're talking about human hacking. All right. Now, you, in the book about interactive missions, let's talk about that. What is that, and how does that apply to effective communication?
The way I learn the best is I can read something, but then I have to go do it. And then you make that muscle memory by actually doing something, like reading something. So if I want to learn how to cook a new recipe, right, I can watch the video a million times, but it's not going to stick with me until I actually go do it. So I tell people, you got to practice. So I let's say we'll talk about elicitation. And then I give them a mission. I want you to go out. I want you to just walk up to a random stranger in a grocery store or, you know, someplace where there's a lot of tourists and use this skill to get some information from them. And you're not going to do anything with it. It's not malicious. You're not getting their credit card. I say something like, go get their first and last name and why they're here. Do they live here? Or are they here on vacation? Right? Just a simple conversation. I give them these missions because I find that the more people practice this in real life, the easier those skills come out when it's time to use them in a conversation. The more you practice any skill, the better you're going to be at it. So these interactive missions I give throughout the book kind of help solidify the skills that are being taught. So that way you can just remember them when they're needed.
Well, repetition is the key to success, right? And, you know, when we learn that principle and we really apply it to our lives get better and better. I mean, it's like, you know, everybody knows how to ride. Well, most people know how to ride a bike, right? They learned it was tough. It was hard. You know, maybe you don't remember it, but it was. And, you know, once you mastered that, you didn't have to go back and, you know, rethink it all the time. You developed a muscle, right? A memory muscle. Okay? And that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about, we're really talking about foundation, aren't we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is. It is the foundational part of the exercises is to build that, because you can read all the self-help books and you know this, you brought it up before, getting a coach or a mentor. If you get a great coach or a mentor and they give you some really solid advice, but you don't ever do it, then it's not really great solid advice, is it? Because you just hear it. You hear it in here and you eat out there. I once heard an analogy. It's kind of like getting a nice meal in front of you, chewing the food and then spitting it out. Yeah. What's the point, right? I mean, you have this beautiful meal, but the purpose of it is nourishment. So it tastes good, but it's also nourishment. No one would just chew the food and then spit it out and take another bite and do the same thing. So when you're learning a new skill, you have to chew on that skill, swallow it, and then it becomes beneficial to you. So it's really important to take those exercises. And people say, but I'm nervous. I'm an introvert. I get so clammed up when I go talk. I know. And everyone's you're going to experience that. But I guarantee you, if you try it, once, twice, five, 10 times. It's going to get easier as you go.
Everything does. Everything does. It's like, you know, I'm just thinking about maybe the first time you got back to the gym, it probably was terrible. And, you know.
Awful. It really was.
Awful, right?
Oh, the next morning I felt like an invalid. I couldn't move. Everything hurt. It was so, I'm like, why did I do this? You know, it was terrible.
Why did I do this? I better have a really strong purpose to do this. And you want to be there for your kids and grandkids.
Yeah.
That's good, man. All right. Well, listen, I'm out of time. What a wonderful interview. I appreciate you, Chris, and your work that you're doing out there. And I hope my audience will go out there and purchase your book. And, you know, we got holidays coming up, you know, Christmas coming up here, you know, buy a bunch of them for all your friends. That'd be great.
Thank you so much. It was a great, nice, really to chat with you.
Nice to have you, man. And I want to thank all of you for being here today. Until next time, continue to see the unseeable, know the unknowable, and you'll be able to do the impossible.